God.
Amen.
How many would like to do something great for God? Amen. Now, there's a few things that when we learn about doing something great for God, the question always comes up, how do we do something great for God? A lot of times it's hard to find the starting point, amen? A lot of times it's hard to find out the great things for God. It's hard to find out what the will of God is. It's hard to find out where we start in this whole great thing. Now, there's a few things that Nehemiah teaches us that would show us how we can start to do something great for God. Can I submit something to you? The first thing you need to know about doing something great for God is you've got to start out doing things that are little for God. To do something great, you've got to be willing to plug yourself into the things that are small. To do something great, you've got to be willing to start where there is no great glory in things. Right. To do something great for God, you've got to be willing to start down here before you can ever start up here. To climb the mountain, you don't take a helicopter to the summit. Right. To climb the mountain, you start at the very bottom of the mountain and you work your way up. Never easy. Quite dangerous sometimes, to be honest with you. But to get yourself to the top of the mountain, you've got to be willing to climb the whole way. There's no great satisfaction in getting airlifted to the peak. There's no great satisfaction having somebody help you to get there. The great satisfaction comes in doing something great for God when you know that you had God working through you to get that great thing done. And when you reach the top of the mountain, you've got to be willing to lay everything at Jesus' feet and say, "Thank God you used me." You can't be willing to stand at the summit and stake your own flag in the top and say, "I've done this great thing." Because the Lord won't use you if you're worried about your own gain. The Lord will not use you if you're worried about getting your name out there. The Lord will not use you if you're worried about having filthy lucre. The Lord will not use you if your end is not good. Even if, and I believe this with all my heart, even if you start out and do something that looks great, if your heart's not right, I don't believe that truly the Lord did something great. Let me give you an example. Many churches across America have football stadiums filled with people. And I mean that with all my heart. There's many churches out there that start out to do a great work for God. But in all honesty, all they want is to have great credit. And what happens is this. People look on those, and in a human aspect, what a great success. But in God's eyes, it's a big failure. Because they're not truly doing something for God. What they're doing is for themselves. And there's big works that are doing some great things for God. But you'll know who they are by who they give the credit to for the great work. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Look in the book of Nehemiah. Let's find out what it would take to even have a beginning of doing something great for God. A beginning where you've got to put yourself and realize what kind of person you've got to be able to do something great for God. By the way, when you're standing at the top of the mountain of doing something great for God and you're in the will of God and you're doing the way of God, you do realize that a step in any direction off of the summit of the mountain is a step what?
Down.
It's a step down. So understand, when you're doing something great for God, there may be opposition that comes your way.
Right.
When you're doing something great for God, there may be people that don't agree with what you're doing.
We'll have opposition.
You're going to have people that want to come out and knock you off the summit of the mountain. But understand this, if you take your eyes off the summit, if you take your eyes off the peak, if you take your eyes off of where you are taking a step in the wrong direction. By the way, it doesn't matter what direction you go, any direction off the top is down. You can't get better in your life than serving God.
Amen.
Impossible. You can't do anything better than being a servant for Jesus Christ. If you realize those things, you'll realize that you don't want to be in any other direction but the direction that God wants you to go. How do we do this? Look in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1. Let's start out in verse 4. Nehemiah realized, that the walls were torn down and the city was laid in ruin. He realized that something needed to be done. To start out in the will of God, you've got to see a need, you've got to fill the need. Now, let me help you with what that means. There's needs everywhere in the church. What happens is, people get the idea that they can't do what needs to be done because it's not important enough. People think that if they see a piece of paper on the floor, that's not really doing the will of God by picking it up. But understand this. Taking care of God's house is certainly in the will of God. You might be the person that the Lord walked in front of that piece of paper. I see one right here. How funny. Right here. Now you might say, well, that's not the will of God. It is the will of God to have his house clean.
Yeah.
It is the will of God to have his house presentable. It is the will of God to see that need and to be the one that fills that need.
Yeah. Right.
What happens is we walk around this world, we walk around this church with blinders on, and we've only got our eyes on what we think would be a great thing for God instead of what we know would be a great thing for God. I would rather do the will of God by accident than miss it altogether.
Yeah.
And now understand, accident in my eyes, but not in God's eyes. God will do things through your life, and you know what? I would rather not know it's coming. I would rather not know. I would rather say, hey, God, I'm just going to, you direct me today. In all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You just acknowledge God. Look to him. Just say, God, I'm going to let you do what you want to do with my life, and let him take you on that path. Let him steer your life. Let him direct your life. I've seen bumper stickers all the time. God is my co-pilot. Well, Jack, you're sitting in the wrong seat then. You need to let God sit in there. Go back, sit, and coach. Okay? Because God doesn't need you to be his co-pilot either. Amen? God will fly the plane. And he's never going to die out. Okay? So he'll be the one that flies the plane the whole journey. The question is, are we willing to do that what God puts in our lives? Are we willing to do even the little things? Because you will not, I promise you, you will not do something great for God until you're willing to do anything for God. Let me say that again. You're not going to do anything great for God until you're willing to do anything for God. No matter what it is. Look at Nehemiah. He saw the need. He filled the need. But in verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah had a very special relationship right here with the people. He said, I see a need of them, and he may not have known them personally. He saw a need of the people, and the need of the people was he had to do something for God. He didn't exactly maybe know what that will was, but he knew that one thing, that a great requirement and a great ingredient to serving God and doing the will of God is praying. His heart was broken over what was happening. His heart was broken over the condition that he saw something. Maybe the condition of the floor. Maybe the condition of the bathrooms. Maybe the condition of the people around this church. Maybe the condition of some of the people in this church. He was willing to say, I am going to pray for these people. Now listen, he's not on the wall here yet. He's not building the wall yet. He's not doing the great thing that Nehemiah ended up doing. He's not doing that yet. What he's doing is he's at the bottom of the mountain. And he's looking up. God, what would you like me to do? See, what you got to do, you've got to come to grips with the fact that there just aren't that many people willing to serve God out there anymore. What we have is a world full of people panicking over what's going to happen in the very near future. We're worried about the depression that's coming. We're worried about the housing market tripping out. We're worried about all these other things happening, but we've never worried about what does God want with your life? What does God want with your life? I know all those other things are coming, but can you control them? Can you control your keeping your job or losing your job? Maybe to an extent, do a good job or try to do the best you can. But understand this, if your company goes over, I don't care if you're the greatest worker in the world, you're losing your job. You can't control that. What you can control is how you act towards your Lord. What you can control, it's funny, it all revolves around your salvation. What do you do with Christ? This thing, what do you do with Christ? Your life, your future, what do you do with Christ? It all revolves around Christ. What do you do with him? Do you see a need? Is there a need somewhere in this church? I'll give you an example. There's a need for nursery workers. Do you care? Hey, I'm just putting it out there to you. There's a need for nursery workers. That's that the will of God is to have our babies be watched downstairs. Amen. All right. It's not easy. It's a terrible, hard job. Okay? But why in the world is that not the will of God? You got to ask yourself. Listen, I'm down in the nursery once a month or so. I enjoy it. What's funny is people can't wait to bail out of doing things for God. You ever wonder what comes into your mind when you want to bail on what's going on for God? Not only do we need nursery workers, we need people that will literally just give people a call and let them know how much they miss them. We need people who see that need. You see people missing. You see people not being here. And we all rely on Pastor and Brother Dave and the staff here to give those people a call. Why can't you dial the phone? We need people that are willing to work in Super Church. Do you see what I'm getting at? These positions may not contain glory. These positions may not get you up here with the preacher patting you on the back saying what a great job you're doing. These jobs may not be the thing that you want and desire the most because you may not be heard. But understand this, I don't believe one minute that Nehemiah cared about the glory. Nehemiah was mourning. Nehemiah was fasting. Nehemiah was praying. He saw a need. He filled the need. He mourned and he prayed and he fasted and said, I want to do something for God.
Yeah.
The question comes, do you want to do something? You got to ask yourself, are you somebody that prays about the will of God? Are you somebody that mourns that you aren't in the middle of doing something for God? You see that need and you know that it needs to be done. Do you fast and ask God, please give me something? Because there's plenty of things to do. The second thing, he was repentant. Look at verse number six. Well, actually, I'll just read verse 5 to you, too. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, and the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Do you ever come to a point in your life where you realize that you're not worthy to do something great for God? Do you ever come to a point in your life where you realize that I believe there's a need, I believe I need to fill that need, but oh Lord, you need to cleanse my heart. Lord, you need to get rid of the things that are bad in my life. Lord, I am confessing to you right now, God, that I am not worthy and I am dirty and I am these, this and that. Are you willing to come to grips with the fact that you're not worthy to serve God? Because you're never going to do something great for God until you can get yourself out of the way. God does not need somebody that already contains the talent to do something. God needs somebody that's available. He will give you the talent to finish the job. He's never going to give you something that you cannot do. Amen? So you've got to realize that you're coming to God as a repentant servant. He's calling on you to do something great for him. How you come to him, I believe, is directly in proportion to what he'll do with you. How you come to him. So he was very repentant. Number three, he was loyal and obedient. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Antaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. He was a person, if you get this job that he had for the king, if you get the job of being the cupbearer, if you get the job of doing something for the king, you must be loyal and obedient. This is not preached much. I'm going to tell you that right now. In churches today, you've got Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. Amen?
Amen.
Then we have an under-shepherd, Pastor Sky. You've got to think about this for a minute. Nehemiah was chosen by God to do this great work because he was somebody that was prayerful, he was somebody that was repentant, and he was also loyal and obedient. Don't expect to do something great for God if you are a disobedient, not loyal servant.
Right.
Now, hey, you might say, well, Brother Dave, I love my preaching. Are you loyal to your preaching?
Amen.
Now listen, a lot of people don't understand loyalty.
Yes.
That's a lost art today. People that are Brother Bud's age, they understand what loyalty is. They understand what it's like to take a person for who they are, even if they may make a mistake, and be loyal. No matter what, let them earn true loyalty. Somewhere along the line, you've got to come to grips with you're not in charge of what's happening here. Yet you still desire. You desire to serve God in a special way. God will look at you and say, you know what? No matter what, I want to serve Christ. I want to serve Christ. I love my pastor. I'm going to be loyal to my pastor because that's who Christ has put in my life. Understand this. If you feel that he starts to do things wrong, you feel that he gets out of Scripture, why don't you pray for him? Why don't you put yourself forward in the face of God and go back to the first couple of things, repent of what you're doing yourself, and also pray for the people that are in charge here. Hey, the last time I screwed up, did you pray for me? Or did you talk about me? I'm not asking you to be loyal to me. I'm asking you to love me. I'm asking you, because I'm your associate pastor, you should love me. I'm sorry, you're required. I'm glad that you're required. I'm hard to love. Ask my wife. We have lost the thought of caring. And listen, I have done this in my own life. I have been disloyal to people. I have cast them off to the side. I have been in a position in my life where there's been times that I did maybe not what I should have done. Understand this. If you think for 1 minute that you are above being disloyal, you're not. You're not above. That's why you need the first two things. You've got to be prayerful. See, I believe being in prayer and seeking God's face is the very base level of being a servant of God. I really believe that. I believe that if you're not seeking God's face in prayer, how in the world can he use you if you don't talk to him?
Amen.
How in the world can he use you if you're not asking him questions? How in the world can he use you if you're not seeking him in your direction that you should go?
Yes.
Then you get to a certain point where you know what? Now you're a servant. And listen, we've got a lot of servants in this church. Pastor Skyler will tell you that we've got a lot of people that serve here. But to serve here, you've got to be loyal, not only to the preacher, but also to Christ. If the preacher is your under-shepherd, you ought to be loyal to your pastor because he's the one that God has put here to be your leader.
Amen.
So you ought to be loyal, not to a man blindly. You should be loyal to Christ. Christ would have you be loyal to your preacher.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. Okay. So to do something, we're talking about doing something great for God. Nehemiah was prayerful and repentant. He sought God, saw a need, filled it. But God saw him being loyal. He saw him being obedient to his king. How in the world can we do something great for God? How in the world can we do something great if we don't obey the authorities that are put over us? Because if we're not going to obey them, how are we going to obey Christ? Boy, I didn't hear any amens there. That's good stuff.
Amen.
Listen to me. He prayed for others. He was repentant. He was loyal and obedient. He saw a need and he filled it. He became the wall builder. Look at chapter 6, verse 3. Chapter 6, verse 3. They put him up on the wall. I've got to speed ahead. I skipped a couple. I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? The people that came to him were only asking for him to stop and come and talk. All they wanted him to do is stop what he was doing for a moment. Please stop. We want to talk with you at first. They just wanted to talk. Now, they wanted him to stop the work. They wanted him to stop building the wall because they knew once the wall was built, enemies would be kept out. They knew once the wall was built, then they would not have control. They knew once the wall was built, something great for God might happen there. Can I help you a little bit? If God finally does see that you're praying, if God finally does see that you're repentant, if God finally does pick you out as being obedient and loyal, and you start doing a great work for God, understand this. Any step in any other direction is coming down. If he does finally plug you in somewhere that you're doing something great for God, and it may take a while for you to do something great for God. Sometimes great things for God don't just happen. You got to work for them. I would say the vast majority of the time, that's what it is. Don't let people get you to come down. Don't let people stop you from doing that great work for God. Because once you start, this is what happens. The people that start out prayerful, the people that start out repentant, the people that start out obedient, the people that start out loyal, and they start doing a great work for God, are always asked to stop doing that great work for God by the people who are not prayerful, by the people who are not repentant, by the people who are not loyal, by the people who are not obedient, by the people who are not being used for God. Because the people that are not being used of God are jealous of the ones that are on the wall. They desire for you to stop doing your work, and you've got to recognize what those people are. If you get somebody that says, I want you to stop being a nursery because that's no fun, that's coming off the wall.
Right. Right.
If God wants you to do a great work for God, if God wants you to do something great for Him, you've got to be faithful in the little things so He can put you in charge of many things.
Amen.
Right. I don't know why in the world God hasn't used me in a great way. Yes, you're so over and over again. Why in the world hasn't God used me? Have you asked Him to? Have you asked Him truthfully to use you in a special way? Have you asked Him in prayer to see the people say, Lord, there's a need, I need to fill it. And if you can't see a need, well, I don't know how if you can't see a need in this church, please bring glasses. There's needs everywhere. If you can't see a need to fill the need, ask God to show you the need. Realize who you are and ask God. If you want to do something great for God, I saw hands go up everywhere. If you want to do something great for God, there's certain criteria that the Lord has to have for you to do something great for Him. And once He starts to use you, opposition comes. It does. It's part of the world to have opposition to the things that God wants to get accomplished. Oppositions come. And it may be from people that you've never dreamed it would come from. But you know what? They're not being loyal. They're not being loyal to the Savior that's got you doing something great. They're not being loyal to the man that is maybe giving you a chance. When I very first came here, just a kid, I couldn't recite. I didn't know where John 3:16 was in the Bible. That's supposed to be funny. He gave me a chance. He said, son, I want you to take over the youth. I had three kids in the youth. Three of them. And we started, basically, that's from scratch, right? Three kids. I learned with them. They were showing me more scripture than I knew.
Amen.
Amen. Little brat kids. They train you quick. Amen. I came in arrogant. I mean, just, I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's amazing how many knives the kids have to help slice along the way. But I learned something. I learned along the way that the only way you're going to get anything done is to be loyal. The only way you're going to get anything done is to pray for the work that you're doing, to pray for it, to see a need, to try to fill the need, to try to do something great and realize who you are. It didn't take me long. And the teenagers, the great thing is, it doesn't take you long to realize who you are. They tell you all about it every time they see you, who you are. And sometimes it wouldn't be honest. Sometimes we think a little bit higher of ourselves than we ought to think. Sometimes we think that, you know, I can't pick up a piece of paper for you, God, because there's other people that can do that. No, you're it. You're the one. You saw the paper. You should be picking it up because the Lord put you in front. I know that sounds a little petty. But you know what? It's not petty. Because you're being loyal to Christ. You're being loyal and doing the things. And the small things, you're being loyal. I'll never forget. I saw Dan Sable one day. I was so impressed. And this fellow's been in the bus ministry forever. I saw him one day bend over and tie a shoe of a bus kid. Hey, listen, that might not be much to you. But the Bible says, the things that thou hast done among the least of these, thou hast done unto me. You know what's funny? I thought about that scripture when I saw that. Danny tied the shoes of Christ that day.
Sure. That's right.
What you've got to understand is, you pick up a piece of paper, you pick up a piece of paper in God's house. I wouldn't mind being God's janitor. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind sweeping God's house floor, sweeping the floor.
Amen.
I wouldn't mind cleaning the holy throne room. You know what I mean? Be willing to do something great for God. Be loyal. Be prayerful. Be repentant. Be somebody that's obedient. Be somebody that desires to do something great. And when you start doing something great, don't let people tell you to come down. Don't let them be able to tell you to come down. Because what happens, if you look at this verse again, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work what? Why should the work cease? Why should the work cease while you come down and take a break from God? Why should the work cease? He became the wall builder, and in verse 11, and this is my last point, he was steadfast. Look at verse 11. And I said, because now they're coming after him a little bit more, and I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. He was steadfast. No matter what came along. And listen, you're going to have opposition when you're doing something for God. That's just the way it is. Don't feel bad about that. Matter of fact, feel good about it. Let me say that again. Don't feel bad about having opposition. Feel good about it. Because if you're having opposition, guess what? You're doing something for God.
Right.
See, the way that Satan works is he goes after the people that are doing something great for God. He goes after the people that are starting to do something great for God. He goes after the people that are starting to pray for God. He goes after the people that are being obedient to God. He goes after the people that are repenting and realize who they are. He goes after the people that are getting ready to be great Christians. That's the people that the devil goes after. You know why he goes after those people? Because he's already got all the other ones.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. Did I just lump you in a group? You're sitting there right now, your heart's saying, wait a minute, Brother Dave. Now, you just did a U-turn on me. That is a lie. Well, here's the problem. The wall's not being built because you're not on it. The great things of God are not being done because you stopped participating. The great things of God are not being done because you stopped praying. The great things of God are not being done because you're not repentant. The great things of God are not being done because you don't see the need. You're great. Can you believe you don't see the need today? The great things of God are not being done because you're not joining in. The great things of God are not being done because you stopped being steadfast. How many, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many used to be doing something for God? Used to be doing something for God. But you no longer do because something or somebody along the line came down. Serving God in a great way, you just couldn't climb all the way to the peak. And no matter where you're at on that peak, the only direction you can go to get progress is up. If you take a step to the side or take a step to the down, you're not going in the right direction. Satan gets a victory. The Bible says that Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.
Yes. Right.
Now the reason that the Bible says that is because the people that are doing something for God, Satan desires to have them because at the time that they're doing something great for God, God is basically showcasing them in a trophy room to make it into a parable, I guess. And if you're doing something great for God, he looks down, he says, have you considered my servant Mark? Have you considered my servant Mark? I'm not comparing him to Job. Trust me. But understand this. Mark doing what he can for God, do you know he's doing what he can for God? As simple as that sounds, if he's doing something for God, that's what God has him to do. If he's doing that and he doesn't come down off the wall, he is somebody that the devil desires to have.
Right. Yes.
If he desires to have you, Christian, that means he doesn't already have you. There's only two kinds of people. There's only two kinds. Preacher, preacher, pastor, and this grow or die. There's only two kinds of people that fit in this whole ballgame. People that are serving God and people who are not serving God. Yeah. If you're not serving God, then who are you serving? You can say what you want to say, Brother Dave, that's just putting too many people in one category. You put yourself there. I didn't put you there. If you're not serving God, if you're not going forward in, then you are only serving one person, that's the devil himself.
Yeah.
Even if you're stopped and are stagnant, not doing anything, just sitting there, you're serving the devil.
Right.
Only because, now listen to me. If you see somebody doing great for God, if you watch them, if you watch their life, and you want to pattern yourself after them, it encourages you to do the same.
Yes.
Even if it's something, man, I tell you, when I saw Brother Danny tie that shoe, it got me excited. Why? Because somebody like Brother Danny, who's been in the bus ministry for 30 years, decided I'm going to help that kid and tie his shoe. He wasn't too great to tie the shoe of a child. Trust me, there's all kinds of them. Both of them have the shoes on the wrong feet, too. Man, that drives me crazy. Seeing a kid walk around like this with his shoes pointed out, that drives me crazy. I got to stop, please let me change your shoes. Well, what's wrong with them? Oh, Lord, number one. If you're doing something, no matter how small it is, if you're doing something for God, it encourages others to do things for God. Dealing with issues right now. Of he said, she said in the school. He said, she said. You know,
know how those things happen. Sadly, the church is loaded with it. Not necessarily right now, but every church is loaded with it. In Brother Mark, this is what being loyal and obedient is going to help you. If Brother Mark comes to me and says, well, preacher's a bric-a-brac, this and that, and preacher's this and preacher's that, you know how you fix that? Can I show you? And let's go ask the preacher. Hey, preacher, Brother Mark says you're this and that, and bric-a-brac, and all this other stuff. He said this. What do you feel about that? Boy, it's amazing how quick it'll stop. His face will turn beet red, and he'll be running for the hills because he's worried that he might catch him. See, this is what you do. In your life, you've got to come above it. You've got to come above what other people are going to do to you. You've got to come above what the devil wants to do. And if you entertain those thoughts and entertain those things that are coming into your ears, what happens is this. You decide in your life that I'm going to come down. I'm going to stop that work. I'm going to stop what I'm doing because I've got to listen to what other people have to say. No, you don't. You don't have to listen to what they've got to say. Stay up on the wall. Stay serving God. Don't take a break for a minute because why should the work cease while you come down? Why should the work cease today? Listen, it's all one work. Everything you do is for one cause. Everything preacher does is for one cause. Everything I do is for one cause. Everything for what Brother Mark does is for one cause. Everything what Brother Mike does is for one cause. And that cause is the cause of Christ. No matter how big, no matter how small, it's all going towards the cause of Christ.
Amen. And Nehemiah 6:3 said it was a great work.
Amen.
And it is a great work. See, what happens is this. We come to a decision in our lives what we deem to be good and what we deem not to be good.
Yep.
Understand this. Everything you do for Christ is good. There's really nothing bigger or nothing smaller when you're doing it for Christ. See, the Bible says the least shall be the greatest and the greatest shall be the least. The Lord's going to change our minds. The Lord's going to change our minds when we get there. We're going to see things differently than we do today. Our perspective on what is great is going to change.
Grandkid.
Right.
When we get to heaven.
Grandkid.
Our perception of what we think is tremendous in this world is not going to be tremendous.
Right.
I'm telling you, folks, to do something great for God, you've got to follow the pattern that we admire.
Dear Lord, I thank you for the pattern that Nehemiah gave us. I'm thankful for the pattern that you showed us through Nehemiah. Lord, I pray that we would all band together as one army serving you. I pray that we would be like-minded, of one accord, realizing that the job is not ours to do, realizing that the job is Christ to do. We're just the tools to get it done. Lord, I pray that we would stay on the wall and stay doing the work and not have the work cease while we come down for foolishness. Lord, I pray that we would learn to be loyal and obedient and great servants for you. Lord, I pray that we would look to do something great even if we're at the bottom of the mountain. We understand that we can make it to the peak by serving you. Lord, help us to see that great things being done for a great God take people that are humble and people that are loyal and people that are prayerful, people that are repentant, and people who refuse to come down off the wall. Dear Lord, let's have a great service today, I pray. I pray that you would put your hand on my pastor. I pray that you keep him healthy. Lord, I pray that he would someday be able to kick even the need of insulin at all. Lord, I pray that he'll have a message from you today on power from on high. And Lord, keep him healthy through the message and let him have your strength and anointing today. And Lord, please anoint the people's ears today that they may hear what you have for them. Lord, thank you. Thank you for choosing us to serve you. Lord, let us not take that lightly. Let us take that as a true challenge to be great servants and loyal ones to you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.